This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. The arts are on the move in the Kansas City area. Jackson County is working on a strategic plan for arts and culture. One goal is to support the arts in all its forms throughout the county. That plan is just getting started. One plan that's already underway is a plan to create an artist haven in Independence. The Inglewood Arts District aims to create an arts magnet on East Winter Road, about 15 minutes from downtown Kansas City. Already under construction is a transformation of a medical building into an arts hub to be known as the Inglewood Arts Center. What makes this plan different is its commitment to providing long-term affordable housing for area artists in the established neighborhoods surrounding the center. Organizers see this as an answer to the gentrification that has chased many artists out of the crossroads. The vision is to make this area a metro-wide destination for artists and art lovers. Joining us to talk about these significant developments are Michael Baxley. He's director of Inglewood Arts. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Dana Knapp is executive director of Arts KC. Dana, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Michael.
Hi, Dana.
Dana, what's behind this drive to develop a strategic plan for the arts and culture in Jackson County?
Behind our efforts is really to drive the momentum forward in Jackson County and actually throughout the region to improve conditions and create favorable policies, funding, to bring about more Inglewood arts districts. They really exemplify the potential and possibility within our region. And so our aim with Jackson County is to ensure that those possibilities are available to all throughout Jackson County.
And Dana, this strategic plan is just getting off the ground, if I understand correctly.
It is. Arts KC is partnering with University of Kansas and MU Extension Office. We were asked by Jackson County to lead the effort, and we are in kind of the first half of the endeavor. And this plan, we aim to be informed by the community. And so we are right now are really in the community engagement phase. And that's why it's so critical to hear from everyone in Jackson County and for us to learn about what the vision, what their vision is, as well as what they believe they need in order to for this to be successful, for us to create a supportive environment for the arts in Jackson County. So we are collecting stories. You can reach out on our website, artskcgo.org. We are collecting stories and opinions from the Jackson County community. Right. We are also holding a community meeting on October 13th to do the same.
Michael Baxley, how would this strategic plan that Jackson County is developing affect what you're doing out on Winter Road in Independence?
That's a great question, Steve. And I think Arts KC, from the beginning of our inception, has been there to help really support the arts and art initiatives. And so they're a fantastic partner, first and foremost. Secondly, I think what they're able to do is enhance it and grow what we're doing. So a lot of what we started with focusing on in the Inglewood area in Independence was changing the zoning to make it more arts friendly. Mm-hmm. And so, having the support of the county to then come in and survey and find out what do people really want out of their county, out of their city, and what do they want out of the arts. Helps drive our mission and steer us and make sure that we're on point with what we're doing, because that's really what our nonprofit is focused on, is growing community and growing community through the arts.
Dana, if I think about the arts in the metro, I think of Kansas City, Missouri as being supportive of the arts with all the developments we've had in the Crossroads and the West Bottoms. I don't think so much of the county as being a driver of the art scene. I gather maybe one of your missions is to begin to change that perception.
You are exactly right. Really, the arts are present everywhere. It may not be, a ticket to the ballet or the symphony, which are critical to our ecosystem, but craft and heritage, culinary arts, we see an expression of the arts and culture in our community really everywhere. And our aim is to mobilize that, to help identify it and bring about support for the arts throughout Jackson County and frankly throughout our region. The visionary leadership in Jackson County really acknowledges the presence of these creative and artistic forces throughout the county and want to lift them up. A direct quote was identifying those hidden gems. And, you know, what's really unique about the arts and creative industries is that they have been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic, but they actually have the greatest potential to inform and innovate in the recovery. So it's the timing is perfect to mobilize and to grow the momentum that Michael and his team have expertly begun.
Just a couple more things here. How much of an economic driver is the arts in Jackson County? Dana, what are some of the latest numbers you've seen on that front?
Well, I will say I don't have the precise number in front of me for Jackson County, but in our immediate region pre-COVID, it was a $254 million economic impact. And so that's considerable. And that is generated through not only direct spending in the arts, but also ambient spending, tourism, buying dinner or daycare. But I think for us, what we've been collecting, the data that's really been coming in, it's pretty both remarkable and I guess affirming of what we've really felt in our ecosystem, is that the arts have been drastically impacted by the pandemic, actually disproportionately so compared to other nonprofit industries. So we are really aiming both in a regional way, state level and federal level, to really raise the visibility as well as incite funding and change in policy so the arts industry can and the creative industries can get a running start in the recovery. Right. Because not only good for us as an industry, but good for the rest of the community, as evidenced by Englewood.
You know, ultimately, this plan is to be used by Jackson County to decide how to invest in arts and culture. How much money does the county invest in arts and culture now?
Well, this year, due to the leadership of Frank White and Troy Schulte and the other legislators, they have this year invested $250,000 in both the development of this vision and this plan, and also in infusing direct funding into the county. And so we're pleased and honored to be that partner at this point in time. So $250,000 today, this year, but they also aspire to invest much more.
Well, Michael, I want to turn now to the Englewood Arts District because I'm fascinated by what you guys are doing out in Independence on East Winter Road. This is a major push to bring artists to a part of the metro where artists have not been so much in the past. What are you aiming to do?
Yeah, and Steve, I think that we're doing two main things that we're aiming for is to revitalize a community that was once very vibrant that right. has since taken a downturn, and give it a new identity as an arts district, which is through the zoning and through the efforts of many in the Englewood area, but also identify an area that's affordable and sustainable living for artists. I think having been in the Crossroads myself and gone through all the different iterations, it's wonderful what the arts have done for Kansas City and downtown. I know, though, that with that development comes higher prices, and a lot of the artists, including myself, are not really down there actively participating in the same way while we still are engaged, we're not living there necessarily. And so what we're trying to do to find is an area for artists that can work and live and keep it affordable so they can stay in the area. And then we're putting them side by side with community members. So now these artists are coming into the area. They're fixing up their homes. They're teaching classes and sharing with their neighbors about the arts. And I'll tell you, the reception we've received from the Inglewood community, you know, this came from a grassroots effort from the community. It was the community that said, we want more arts in our community. And so they've been really welcoming and encouraging artists. Yes, come be part of our neighborhood. Right. And help us make it a better place to live.
How are you going to keep housing affordable? Because every other time that so many of us have seen the arts move in, prices go up, gentrification takes hold, and eventually the artists go away. Michael, are you there? We may have lost Michael Baxley. What about that, Dana? This idea that what they're trying to do out at the Inglewoods Arts Center is really aimed at affordable housing in a very dramatic way. How are they going to do that? What's your sense from watching from afar here?
Well, it really is pieces of a puzzle. And what Independence and Inglewood Arts District have done is really pull those pieces of the puzzle together at the front end. You know, Michael mentioned grassroots, but, you know, at the very beginning of the development of this particular arts district, there was policy in place, an overlay district. There were elected and public officials that were in support of it. And they worked alongside the community. So it really takes that kind of solidarity at the very beginning and a shared intent to retain the artists. And it really is, I call it a perfect storm. It's a positive storm that really has exemplified that in that particular arts district. And we need to duplicate it.
Michael, you're back with us. What is the secret formula to a long-term affordable housing plan for the artists out there? Because as you look around the metro, we've seen time and time again that, you know, artists move in, prices go up, gentrification takes hold, and then you lose the artists.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's the question we're all trying to answer is what is the answer? And I don't know, you know, with any new ground that you're breaking or forest you're foraging, you don't know if it's going to work. But what we've done is we've done a lot of research, and we looked at many other models that include community land trusts, that include deed restrictions, you know, working with banking partners. And so what we've come up with is a 7-point strategy that we believe will be successful because we have had the luxury of kind of our timing. I think the timing is right. There's a lot of other housing initiatives that have been going for a while. And what we've been able to do is study those. And what I would say is kind of cherry pick what we think is working best and best practices and put them into what I'm calling a hybrid model for housing, where we're touching on many different points. One with the zoning that that restricts certain businesses that can move in. It also restricts how large a house can be. And then the zoning also allows smaller homes under 1,000 square feet to be built. So now we, by building smaller homes, it, just that act alone, A, they're affordable because they're smaller, but B, there is it takes a long time for a 900 square foot home to become a $500,000 home. I mean, 50 years plus, you might look at other communities, even in the Prairie Village area, and those homes are small, but they're still over 1,000 square feet. And it's taken 50 years plus for them to even get to the $300,000, $400,000 level. So it's not to say that we'll eradicate gentrification, but if we can slow it way down and bring the community along for the ride. And so we've been trying to develop loan programs for existing community members to help fix up their homes. And just giving everybody equal opportunity within the community, whether you've lived there 30 years or whether you're just moving into the area, our nonprofit's working to create a toolbox with as many tools as possible to help everyone and be as inclusive as possible.
Michael, I want to be really crystal clear with our listeners, because you guys are really playing a multiple dimension chess out there. You're messing mm-hmm. with zoning, you're dealing with banks, you're renovating a former medical building and turning it into an art center. You have the housing component. I mean, there's a lot of different pieces to this this puzzle that you're putting together out there. This is a really concerted effort aimed at building an arts community out there. It's something I'm not sure we've seen in the metro for quite some time, if ever.
And I think I'm proud to say I'm not aware of any comparable initiatives. I see different aspects of these happening throughout the city. But what we've done is taken a really holistic approach to community and arts. And when we look at the arts, specifically just the arts, artists are always looking for affordable places to work, but they also need affordable and sustainable places to live. And if you can give the art community everything they need for living and working, we believe that you're going to have something really vibrant. And if we can do the same for regular community members, non-artists, just people that want to be part of a community, then I think we have real harmony there. We're looking for diversity. We're looking for community, and we're doing it with an arts theme. But that's really a holistic idea that I haven't seen. I've only seen bits and pieces. And so it's a lot of fun. We're able to kind of bring this right together and address the whole needs of the person.
Dana Knapp with Arts KC, have you seen anything like this before in the metro?
I agree with Michael. There have been bits and pieces, but the really what is remarkable about this endeavor and what we really need to all kind of recognize and support and perpetuate is, as Michael just described, it's the for-profit, public, in neighborhood connection. It is accessibility to funding, affordable housing and adjacent housing, live workspace. And I want to reinforce and really an aim in our Jackson County project is it takes policy, zoning, leadership within either the county or municipal government, real buy-in and vision to enable all of these things to come together.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking about a new strategic plan for the arts in Jackson County and an exciting new development on Winter Road out in Independence, the Inglewood Arts District, now coming to fruition out there. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, are you on? You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Well, thanks. Yeah.
Hey, I'm an artist, and you know, this is such a great conversation, and then I want to say to everybody that is out there that gets priced out of places like the Crossroads and Midtown and Westport, you know, you don't have to pay those high prices. There's plenty of neighborhoods in the city that would love to have artists and some sort of investment. I mean, come to my neighborhood. Come to the historic Northeast. Go to Truce. Go to Paseo. All those places, you can get something great. Just take a risk. They're safe. And make something new. Create a new amazing neighborhood that everybody wants to go to.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say.
Jeff, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Michael, in terms of ongoing programming, what are you envisioning out there?
Well, and so with the development of this former medical building, it's a 30,000 square foot facility. And so rather than us try to impose programming or guess what people want, we just asked the arts community. We did that through several committee meetings. We also asked the greater community that lives in the region, what would you like to see? And we've identified three major areas that artists would like to see growth. What we didn't want to do is replicate the arts, what's already successful in Kansas City. First and foremost, the Crossroads is amazing and vibrant, and there's a lot of art. So when people are talking about the Crossroads, we support it, and we think that what's happened there is really great. So, but what we're trying to do is just something a little different. And so from that, we've identified areas in the performing arts, the visual arts, and even in the culinary arts where there are programming that isn't happening. And so what we're trying to do is fill the gaps in the arts community while also at the same time literally and figuratively filling the gaps in the Inglewood community. And so within the visual arts, we have, through conversations and surveys, we found out that glass blowing is something that is that we'd like, that artists would like to see, and the region would like to see more growth in murals, painting studios, fiber photography, metal and wood. So in the visual arts, those are the areas that we're focusing on initially in our programming. In the performing arts, we have a community stage for poetry, theater, and music. And it's a small stage that's going to be state of the art. And then the feedback we get from artists is they want a venue that's easy to sell out, easy to fill, but they want all the luxury and the state of the art equipment that you would see at a much larger, more expensive venue. And then we also, in the culinary arts, independence, the schools are tremendous, and they have a pathways program, a culinary pathways program that happens to be the largest program that they run in their trades program. And it's because of that and the Innovation Center, which is another culinary program in Independence, we see that there's a need to expand that and support it. And so we have a culinary residency program where residents will be able to pop up and try their hand at the business side of the culinary arts and without all the risk involved of trying to open their own restaurant. So those are the three main key areas that we're developing and working. However, I will say, the building that we are renovating, we've purposely put no permanent walls in the building. So it's always going to be flexible to breathe and expand or contract based on feedback from the community and the arts community. And we really want to be, you know, I tell people it's a real simple concept. Every community has some sort of community center. Mm-hmm. It's usually somewhat sports themed where you have basketball and you have swimming. This is no different. This is to serve everyone. The difference is it's arts themed. So instead of basketball and swimming, we have glass blowing. We have, you know, a community stage for music and theater. So, but it really is for the community. It's for everyone.
So, and before too long, Michael, you hope to have a landmark sign up on top of that art center that will be visible for miles.
Yes. And so, interestingly enough, Inglewood is one of the few areas that's zoned for neon. That's part of the arts district zoning. So much of neon has been eradicated from the area. And so it doesn't allow for new signs. It can only be grandfathered in. So with the zoning, we're really embracing that. And we have a partner, Bernstein and Rain, that has been generously helping us with our marketing. And they came up with this really amazing concept that mirrors kind of the Hollywood sign.
Right.
We are doing the Inglewood sign. And it has this glorious neon that says Where Arts Lives, that Steinmetz Neon generously stepped up and helped. And another artist, Mark Kolosik, came in and made these enormous letters. So it was a community effort between Bernstein Rain and several artists that came together to actually make this sign. So we are an arts organization. We're staffed by artists, but we have had so much support by other artists coming in, just wanting to volunteer their time to help us move forward. And it's been tremendous.
When do those letters go up on top of the building?
Well, and that's a great question. So we hope as soon as possible. We actually have another community member that is very skilled in stainless steel welding. And so he's making a superstructure. And then, of course, it has to get engineered. So we'd like to see it up before the end of this year, if not definitely the first part of next year. But because we are taking a lot of in-kind and pro bono work, we're kind of moving it at their schedule versus us imposing a schedule. When you're not a paying customer, you kind of say yes and follow the lead. So, the wonderful thing, we've had so many in-kind and donations and community support. I jokingly say we need to build a second building just to put a donor wall in for all the names. but the support that comes, I think that what we're doing is going to have far more lasting power than if somebody, well, I'd love somebody to write a $10 million check to complete the project. You know, by having people giving their time, giving their materials, or giving what they can financially, it's been a real community effort. I think it's going to have a lot more staying power because hundreds of people to this date have touched the project in so many ways where they feel real pride and ownership. And I feel like at this point, there's just so many people that want to see this succeed because they've donated in some way, whether it's time or materials or other, that it's going to have a lot more staying power than if we just did some generic development and then said, here it is, everybody, mm-hmm. go for it. Instead, we're letting them kind of help us and dictate what they want.
You know, Dana, it strikes me today that mm-hmm. artists appear to be more congregated, you know, more on the west side of Jackson County around Kansas City's downtown. To what extent does the Englewood Arts District stand to tilt this artistic sphere, if you will, more to the east?
Well, I would say that the individual artist has been diffusing throughout Jackson County and the region for some time. I think for a variety of reasons, but I've personally and organizationally, we support that. From my perspective, and I want to reinforce something Michael said, you know, different facets of the community provide different connections, different expressions of culture and individuality. So it is best if we don't duplicate. You know, the aim really is to elevate, identify these pockets and these remarkable moments throughout the region and help to elevate and underpin the growth and individual and creative development of those spaces. Mm-hmm. So I think from our perspective, you know, the kind of diffuse nature of the arts throughout the region, not concentrated in one area per se, actually bodes best for the impact the arts can have in our communities.
Michael, when will the Englewood Arts District be up and running? When can people expect to can come out there and hang out and start enjoying all this?
Right. And actually, it's funny because I was just thinking about how I wanted to mention, first and foremost, there were artists living in Englewood far before mm-hmm. this idea ever came about.
Yes.
And so it was artists had art, much like your caller had mentioned, you know, hey, look at all the different areas. There were artists living in Englewood for a very long time. And so by us kind of putting a spotlight on it, we're hoping to grow that and support it and enhance it. And part of the grassroots community that came forward, a lot of those were artists that said, we want to grow this through the arts, but that was also in conjunction with other community members. So there has been for many years a Third Friday Art Walk that mm-hmm. happens every third Friday year round. We just had our last one last week. It was greatly attended. And so every third Friday, if you want to experience Englewood, that is a great way to come out and just experience the arts because it's already happening.
Well, that's Michael Baxley, Director of Englewood Arts, also joined today by Dana Knapp, Executive Director of Arts KC. Michael, best of luck out there. Dana, thanks for the update on the strategic plan. We'll be watching to see what happens down the road.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.